thank the Lord for salvation and desire that you'd pray for us and with us as we share with you the Word of God. We'd like for you to turn to Daniel, the 5th chapter, and we're going to read quite a bit of this chapter. I'd like to just read it through to kind of give the background of the story, and we're going to deal with some aspects of it. The Lord gave me this one morning as I was a little while ago. I was for my devotion, and sometimes I just kind of, not knowing what to read on in the mornings, sometimes I have a particular thought that comes to my mind, and I study that out. And then there are times that I just say, Lord, whatever is in your word that you want me to read, then open it up. And so I opened up the Bible and opened up this chapter and started reading it. And my eyes fell on it and started reading it. I thought it was kind of an interesting chapter for the Lord to be talking to me on, because I felt like I was going through some things and I needed something from the Lord, and I didn't know what I needed. And then as the Lord opened this up to me, it was just what I needed. I want to share it with you. I feel like this is what the Lord has for us today. Let's start at the 5th chapter of Daniel, first verse, and read, please.
Belshazzar the king
made a great feast to the thousands of lords, and he drank wine before the thousand. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring golden and silver vessels, which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines, might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines, they drank in them. They drank wine, and they praised gods of gold, of silver, brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand, and he wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosened, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud, and bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, soothsayers. And the king spake and said to his wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof, shall be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men. They could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was the king Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man. This is what I want to talk about. If I were to give a title to this lesson, it would be, There is a Man. All right? There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpretation of dreams, and showing of hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts, were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show thee the interpretation. Then was Daniel brought before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, Are you Daniel, which are of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee. Spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they cannot show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations, dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing, and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said unto before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, give thy rewards to another, yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known unto him the interpretation. That's good enough. Now, what I wanted to do is just give us a background of the story. Here's the storyline. Here is Belshazzar. He was, from my understanding, he was probably the grandfather of Nebuchadnezzar. We know that Nebuchadnezzar was struck down and he went out and ate for 7 years as a beast and whatnot. God had done something with him. And so this man, Belshazzar, was the king, and he made a feast to thousands of his lords and drank wine before the thousand. And Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels, which was his father's Nebuchadnezzar. So he is having a feast. The king threw a feast. And while he's having a good time with all of his lords and whatnot, he decides in his mind that he wants to go and he wants to get the vessels of the house of God and drink wine out of them. Now, I thought of it like this. As the Lord was bringing it to my mind, there are a lot of folks, and we have this from time to time, and probably all of us in recent times have dealt with it, where there are a lot of people that go out. Maybe they had, at one time, they knew something about the saints. Now they don't quite know very much about them. And now it is our responsibility, and this is what I want to say to us as people of God, it is our responsibility to live a consistent, holy life. Now, this king was not interested in Daniel. He wasn't interested in Daniel's religion. He wasn't interested in the Jews. They were just a group of people that had been brought into captivity, and he ruled over them, but he wasn't very interested in what they had to say or know very much about them at all. All right? And there, that is how it is sometimes with people. You know, have you ever thought, we're not a big group of people. There are not a lot of folks that are very interested in what we have to say until they get in trouble. All right? So this man here, this king here, was doing fine. He had his vessels and he had his wine. He had his feast and all. But one of the things that he did is he touched the thing that belonged to God. And had he not touched the thing that belonged to God, he would probably have been all right. But you know what I'm learning more and more? All of us, we must be careful when we touch that which belongs to God and attribute it to something else. All right? Now here he is, poured the wine in the vessels that belonged in the temple of God. Instead of worshiping God with them, he was actually worshiping demons, worshiping the devil. And the Lord did not go unnoticed. God saw it and God judged him right at that moment. Let me tell you what is happening in our society today. Those things which once were considered sacred, which were once considered something that we knew the Lord had his hands on, or people, or doctrines, or the church that the Lord once has had his hand on, I hear people talking about it very lightly and using it in a way that it should not be used, and they're just talking about the people of God. Don't do that. That is a very serious thing. When you touch the people of God, you're touching God himself. All right? And God is not going to let that go by. Do you know sometimes folks can be very close to the line and don't know when they are stepping over the line? They don't know how close they are because it's just the norm. Lord, help us. Have you noticed that the norm is changing in our society? What is normal is there used to be a healthy respect for all that is holy, all that represented that which is holy. There was times that folks left the church doors unlocked so folks can come in and pray when they wanted to. You can't do that today. We left our church doors unlocked, unknowing to us, and what happened? Somebody stole something, didn't they? And it would have been that you would have been afraid. I was talking to some folks that were taking care of the windows and the different ones, the policemen that come when I get an alarm call. They say, you know what? I don't understand why a person will break into a church. Out of all things that they would do, they would break into a church which should be sacred. But I understand to some degree, and the degree that I understand it to is that there are folks that are standing in the pulpit stealing from the church. Stealing from churches. You understand what I'm saying? I'm using that in a very general sense. All right. So what I want to say to any person that looks at the things of God, and maybe you don't quite see it, you don't quite understand it, this is not quite the way you want to do it, don't talk about it. Don't use it lightly. Don't attribute it to being, oh, that really ain't of God. Y'all just doing something that God really ain't in. Be careful about that. All right? So what he says, and Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels, which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the gold vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which were at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the God. Now, I wonder if they had just took the cups and they just drank the wine, what would have happened? But what they did, while the wine was in their hand and while it was fresh on their lips, they drank wine and they praised the gods of gold and of silver and brass, of iron and of wood and of stone. So with what should have been something that was sacred, that should have been devoted to the one true God only, they worshipped and praised demons. They worshipped and praised their gods, the gods that they had set up. They worshiped and praised the gods of gold, and they attributed what God had created to another god. And so I believe that God had seen this, and that kingdom had had a history, and they had the people of God there. They had had a history, and God was going to pour down judgment right then and right there. And then it says, in that same hour came forth the finger of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick, over against where they could see it in the dim light. He wrote over against the candlestick and the plaster on the wall, the king's palace. The king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him, so that his joints of his loins were loose and his knees smote one against the other. The man was afraid. He went from having a good time drinking wine with thousands of his princes and all the folks, but he crossed a line and he did something that God was not pleased with. He attributed it something that was sacred, and he defiled and profaned that which was sacred. Don't defile and profane that which is sacred. May the Lord help us. I've seen too many people do this. I've seen them talk about the people of God. I've seen them talk about the doctrine of the church. I've seen them talk about a lot of different things that they profane. If there's something that you don't agree with and something that you don't understand, you have a healthy respect and say, right now, I don't want to do that. Right now, I don't see it that way. And you step back, but don't talk about it. Because you're crossing a line when you do that. May the Lord help. I don't know who. I'm preaching to all of us. I'm preaching to me. I have no one in my mind about this, but this is something that I've seen and something that I've noticed over the last. It seems like that which was holy, that folks used to, what it used to be that people decided, I'm going to backslide. I'm going to backslide and because I don't want to live this way. But when I do want to live this way, I'm coming back and I want it to be just like it was when I left. All right? But they don't talk about the saints. But now what do we have? What do we see? We see, well, you know what? People that hurt so many people over there at that church. And I don't agree with it. And I don't see it being of God. And it's just in some kind of... Be careful when you say that. You don't know what you're touching. You don't know what you're dealing with. This is the people of God. Maybe there's some things that you don't understand. Maybe there's some things I don't understand. Maybe there's some things that God has not revealed to me yet. But let me make certain that I respect what God's hand has been on, what I've seen God's hand upon. Don't make it wrong. Nowadays, what they do, they want to make it wrong. The things that we once taught and believed and stood for, they want to make it wrong because it's easier for them to walk over it when it's wrong. Lord, help us have a healthy respect for what you've seen the Lord work with in time past. Now, I'm not saying that everything is back there because I believe the Lord is still working. He's still working in your life. He's still working in my life. But I'm just saying, be careful. This is an example. All right? He was afraid and he said... The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers. What are these? People that are practicing witchcraft. These are people that are they have some ability. Let me tell you, witchcraft can have some, there's a power behind witchcraft. And let me tell you, have you ever noticed that when you're dealing with spiritual matters and you're going to the New Testament that witchcraft is behind false religion? This is why you have to be careful when you not we talked about it in our Sunday school lesson, that you just don't go to any old church? Folks, where they touch you on the top of the forehead and you fall down, what do you think that is? The Spirit of God? No. It's the spirit of the enemy. People don't know, don't have a control of their faculties. Do you suppose that that's the Spirit of God? No. But folks are wanting to put it right up beside the Spirit of God and make it be well, your religion or my religion, saints. There is a truth of God's Word. And what you and I have to do is find it. This is not about just what the Church of God teaches. It's about whether or not the Church of God teaches what the Bible teaches. It's not about holding on to a tradition that my parents passed down to me. It's about learning it for myself and getting a revelation from God from me so that I know that this is what the Bible teaches and is not just a tradition that's being passed down. You have to know that for yourself. You have to stand on it for you. You have to see that it's worked for you. Yes, it works for my parents. Yes, it works for my grandparents. Yes, it saw them through some very difficult times. But saints, I want you to understand and know that it's worked for me too. When I've been in a tight spot, when it seemed like I didn't know which way to go, God came to my rescue. He prevented me. He kept me in the palm of His hand. He kept me where I didn't have to fall when there were great temptations that were all around me. So it works for me. So there is this revelation that I have, that I own this now. It's not just something that was passed. I know I preach about this all the time, but I believe the Lord wants us to reiterate it because I believe that as we see what Daniel went through, it was something that worked for Daniel. Daniel had seen the history of this thing. Now it was 50, 60, 70 years later, and Daniel was still living the way that God wanted him to live. Saints, stand firm. Be consistent in your relationship with the Lord. All right? All right, so now the king is in trouble. He didn't cross the line, and God is laying judgment down on him, a hand that's writing on the wall. He doesn't even know what it says, but he knows it can't be something that's good for him. And so what does he do? He calls those that he has confidence in. Who is it? The astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers. And the king spake and said unto the wise men of Babylon. Now, what I want to say about this is, It's very good, saints, Lord help us. It's very good when everything is going right for you to have confidence in all the wise men of Babylon. Those are spiritual intellectuals. You can go into the bookstore right near Babylon. What is Babylon? It represents a state of confusion. We don't preach on it anymore, but it's religious confusion. You don't know what to do. He's got soothsayers, he's got astrologers, he's got the Chaldeans, he got all the wise. He don't know where to go. He doesn't know what to do. And so you can go to all kind of Christian bookstores and you can listen to the men that have some dug into the Word and they have some good knowledge, but they don't have the experience. They don't have a good, solid experience. Those are wise men, intellectuals. But you know what you can do? You can call a little old lady or a little old man that can't hardly read. They don't know a whole lot, but he knows God. And when I get into trouble, those are the ones I don't want him that can expound everything. I want somebody that can pray. I want somebody that can get a hold of the God of all creation. I want somebody that can help me through my trouble right here. And they don't have to know all that. They don't have to have big words when they get up and speak and they all the drama. They don't have to have that. As a matter of fact, I'd rather them not have it. What I want is somebody that can get a hold of God right here, right now, because I'm in trouble. All right, so here he is, and he says, whosoever can read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlets and chains. He's going to give them all kind of bribes, all kind of rewards. Whatever you do, just tell me what that writing on the wall says. If you can do that, you'll be the third in this kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king's interpretation. In other words, they couldn't get a hold of God. God wrote it, and it took God to interpret it. Sometimes God puts things in our lives, and it takes God to interpret it. And we need the Lord. Lord, have mercy on me and this situation. I need you to help me. I need you to get me through this, Lord. If you don't do it, I don't know how I'm going to be able to get through it. And so here comes the king, and they said, we don't know what it is. Then he was greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. We don't know what to do. What shall we do? We know this is some judgment, and we don't know what it is. But Lord, have mercy. Have you ever been in those kinds of places? And then what do you do? And then now the queen. Now she wasn't there. Now we understand through history that this is probably the queen mother. Maybe she was Nebuchadnezzar's wife, or maybe it was another. There's not really clarity as to who she was, but she wasn't this man's wife. She was the mother or some woman related to him in some kind of way. She was had been a queen here. And now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and the lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. Do you see how this woman was a woman of prudence? This was a woman that you could tell she was an older woman. You can tell she was older than this man. You could tell that she'd had some experience. And she said, listen, I know all of y'all are in an uproar, but let's calm everything down, because it's not going to do you any good to be all up in an uproar about it. But listen, I know what you need to do in this situation. He said, there is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. Maybe she didn't know too much about him. Have you ever noticed how folks maybe that once knew about the saints, how they want to follow you on Facebook? Have you ever noticed that they're always wanting to follow you? I don't know. Anybody got a Twitter account? I don't have a Facebook account, and I'm so happy I don't. I don't want one. But have you ever noticed? I noticed when I got on there, I had all these folks pop, 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 friend requests when I was there. Friend requests, all kind of folks that want to know what you're doing, whether or not you're still standing for what you always stood for right. Have you ever noticed that? Am I wrong in that? I want you to speak if I'm wrong. So folks are wanting to have some kind of, they want to follow you. They want to see. I don't know if it's because in the back of their mind they know that there is something about the way that you believe that's good, but they don't want to do it right now. Or if they just want to come and make attacks on you. I don't know what it is. But I do know that they know something about what's going on in your life. And let me tell you, they go and click on it every now and then, and they're watching you. Right? Well, this is, if it was a Facebook and Daniel had one, this woman would have been one of his friends. She'd have been following Daniel, seeing what Daniel was doing, because she knew he was there, but the king didn't know he was there. She remembered what happened with Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar, how he spoke about the dreams and how he interpreted the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. She remembered that. She was old enough to remember that. And she was old enough to know that he just hadn't gotten lost in the throng and in the crowd, that this man is still out there. Where's Daniel? So she's asking somebody every now and then where Daniel was and what Daniel was doing and whether or not he was still interpreting dreams and whether or not he was still living in the way that he's always lived, or has he made some changes since he's been in Babylon? Now, if she'd heard that he'd made some changes and some adjustments while he was in Babylon, do you suppose she'd have called on him? No, he would have been just a wise man of Babylon. He would have been like the astrologers. He would have been on the same level as everybody else, out of contact with God. But he maintained his integrity even when it did not seem like it was in his benefit. It was of no benefit necessarily. He maintained his integrity with God. All right, so here he goes, and he says, there is a man in thy kingdom in whom the spirit of the holy gods, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, we think that this may be his grandson. That's what the research that I've done, it may be about Cheshire's grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, as opposed to his father. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Now, she was confident of this. You know what I've learned, saints? This is why it's so important for you to get it for yourself. Not because mama passed it down or daddy passed it down. I was born in this church. But you get it for yourself. And it becomes yours. Not because this is something that I want to promote, but because it's something that you know in the depths of your heart is right. And while we're around all the folks that may be doing something different, you stand firm and true to the Lord. You do what God tells you to do. I'm not doing this because of what my mother did or what my father taught me, or what the old time saints. That's not why I'm doing it. I'm doing it because the Lord dealt with me. He talks to me, and He dealt with me, and He showed me, you don't move. And then let me tell you, because I would have moved a long time ago had the Lord not given me a revelation. Saints, a revelation is necessary. Don't just stand there. Ask the Lord, Lord, show it to me. Give it to me like I need to have it, Lord, so that I can stand in this evil time. Because let me tell you, what's happening is folks are going from the right to the left. They don't know what to do. They don't know why to do it. Well, this one here, and I've got confidence in him, and they're doing this, and so I think it might be safe. Don't go that way. I'm going to go in this direction because this person I've had confidence over the years. You know it for yourself. If I start going in another direction, you go the way the Lord told you to go. I'm not going in another direction. You ain't got to worry about that. I'm trying to get to heaven just like you are. And so I believe the Lord wants us, those of us, we're family here. We're a congregation here. And the Lord wants us to understand that what He wants you and me to do is to have it for ourselves. Just like Daniel did. I don't know what happened to the rest of the Jews that were in captivity. Well, I may say, well, there's a few folks that you can call. You can call this one, and maybe there was, but Daniel was the high-profile person that this woman knew. She knew what he had done in times past. She knew his history, and she knew he still lived that way. All right. And she testified for him. She said, you call him. And what did she say? I think he'll be able to help you. He might be able to help you, but I'm not sure. That's not what she said, is it? She said, what did she say? And he will show thee the interpretation. He will do it. I have that much confidence in this man's life. I have that much confidence in his connection with God that he'll pray you through. All right? Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou the Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. Now the wise men and the astrologers have been brought in before me, and that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. So what he's saying is, I've heard about you. I've heard something about you, and I've heard what you were able to do. And saints, this is why it doesn't just matter that we... It's not as important that we just hold on to all we've been taught. What's important is holding on to the connection of God. That when somebody calls on us, that we have a connection. That there is not something that there's not a weakness. May the Lord help us. That there's not a disconnect. But that we can touch the throne of God like we've always touched. You remember how we used to have a lot of old-time saints that you can call on? Who's the old-time saints now? Who are the ones that... How old were they? I've often said this. How old were the old-time saints? They weren't that old. In their 50s, in their 60s. They were our ages, weren't they? 40s, 30s. But they could get a hold of God. And our responsibility today is not just I'm saved and I'm sanctified and I thank the Lord, I'm standing up and I'm thanking the Lord for salvation and sanctification. You need to be able to get in touch with the Lord. You need to be able to not just live right, but to be able to help pray somebody else through. You need to be able that when you see a situation like Daniel was in, like this king was in, you see the situation that you can ask the Lord, Lord, what do I say to this person about this? I don't know what to say. Everybody's in a state of confusion. Daniel didn't just say off the top of his head, this is what I believe it means. No, Daniel went praying to the Lord and asking the Lord, Lord, have mercy. If you go back and you read what he did with Nebuchadnezzar, you'll find out that for a few hours he was praying and his mind was troubled and whatnot. He didn't say anything to the king, but God was talking to him. You need to be in a place that God talks to you. It's not just about the preacher and the teachers and those that stand up in front of you. But suppose everybody was as spiritual as Daniel or as spiritual as you think I ought to be. There's no monopoly just because I happen to be the pastor. You can be something that motivates me, that this person that's sitting in the pews that hardly says anything is much more spiritual than I am. Lord, help me not to be left behind. That you become my challenge. That I can call on you, and those that are in trouble can call on you. Let me tell you what happens, saints. As long as things are going like they should, and things are going, and they can get all the answers and all of their needs met out there, they're going to speak highly of all the astrologers. I'm putting that in quotation. All of those folks, they're pastors of this and that. Have you heard about TD? Or have you heard about this? Have you read the book that so-and-so wrote? Have you? And what's the point? Did it help you get closer to the Lord or help you understand something intellectually? Something that is, they intellectualize something that's spiritual. Now, I'm not saying all those books are bad, because they're not, because I've read them too. I've read some of them. But what I'm saying is that you can speak highly of them until you get in trouble. And when folks get in trouble, they need to have somebodies, that they can go to, and that person can get a hold of God for them, with them. We're going to pray you through. I'm going to live a life that I'm saying I'm saved and sanctified, but I'm going to live it. So that you can come to me and you can pray and you can ask me to pray for you, and I get under the burden and I push this thing through for you. That's what Daniel did. That's the kind of life that Daniel lived. There is a man. And so do we have that kind of a man? Do we have that kind of a woman today that right when 50 years ago they were living it, and today they're even deeper in the Lord than they were 50 years ago? When they were interpreting dreams, when they were doing the thing that they were doing as a young man, as a young woman. Now they've gotten older and now they're still there, still doing it, still doing the same thing, and folks know that they're still there. And they know that the power of God is with them. It's not just us holding on to a tradition. It is us holding on to the power of God. May the Lord help us. Folks want to say it's just tradition. It's not just tradition. It is, and I need something from God, and I've grabbed hold of it, and Lord, I'm not going to let you loose until you bless me. I need this, Lord. May the Lord help us. All right. So he began to say, I've heard a lot about you. I heard what you're able to do. And if you're the same man, what are you going to do? And I've heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself. I'm still the same old Daniel. I don't need your stuff. I'm not going to read this for money. You're not going to be able to bribe me. I'm not to be bought. You can't buy me. You can't give me enough big prizes. You can't offer me leadership, all these kind of things for me to do this. I'm going to do this. You keep your money. I'm doing it as unto the Lord. You keep your gifts. So that tells nothing's changed, has it? This man had an understanding that you can't take this man's money and do something for the Lord as well. What you get comes directly from God. God will give it to you. And Daniel understood that. Daniel had a conviction about that I need what I need from God, not from you. I'm not doing this for your sake. I'm doing it as unto the Lord. All right, so he says, and Daniel answered and said, before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation thereof. You see his confidence? He knows that the Lord's going to do something here. And what do you suppose that Daniel, when they went and got Daniel, and Daniel was saying, well, why am I coming again? Well, there's this handwriting that's on the wall, and nobody knows what it is, and the king is afraid, and he's got all these thousands. Somebody's telling him all of this. Don't you believe? I believe I can. That's not a stretch. And he didn't just come all of a sudden see what, get up there. I don't know how long it took him to get to his house and for him to come there. I don't know all of that, but he's saying the king is very afraid, and the queen came in and she told us about you, and I knew where you live, so I came. All of this is happening because we're all human. Daniel, all the folks were, this is what you would have done. You would have, well, why am I being called to the, at this time of night, why am I being called? And they're giving him all the background information, and what do you suppose Daniel started doing? What did you say? Praying. So he already in contact with the Lord. Lord, now I'm going in here. This king is wanting me to know something that I don't have any idea what it is. Lord, if you don't talk to me, I can't talk to him. So he's praying. That's why instant in season, out of season. Just when you get up, you don't have to, he didn't have to, well, I've been doing something this evening and today that I shouldn't have been doing. Let me pray. Was he doing that? Let me pray and ask the Lord to forgive me right quick so I can be, no, the man was in a state of readiness, saints. You and I have to be in a state of readiness that we don't have to be asking the Lord, well, Lord, I know I didn't treat that person so right, and now I don't know if you're going to talk to me. Daniel was ready. Daniel didn't have to ask nobody, well, hold on, let me go and ask them to forgive me for what I said and how I... He didn't have to do that. You don't need to do it. Lord, help us to stay in a state of readiness. Is this too hard for you? So he's praying, and he's saying, Lord, tell me about this situation. Tell me what to do. And then the Lord says, when you get there, I'm going to show you what that is, and you're going to be able to read it. And so the Lord already gave him a revelation, this settledness in his mind, this settledness in his heart, that I already talked to you, Daniel, and you're going to have no problem reading it, because I particularly had that queen to come in here and call your name, and now you're the one that I want to use to talk to this man. So Daniel came in there, and now Daniel's an older man than he was when he dealt with Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know, 50 years had gone by at least. Not sure how much time had gone by, but several years had gone by. And he says, then Daniel answered, they say that Daniel at this time was about 90 years old. Somewhere around 90 years old when he saw him. So I'm going to tell you, a 90-year-old man or a woman can say a lot of things and not be afraid that a 30-year-old man can't say to another person. So the queen comes in there. She's an older woman. She comes in there. She has her position. And she speaks to the king. And she's not afraid of him. This is her relative, his young relative. And she says it in a certain way. And she settles the crowd, so to speak. And then Daniel comes in here. And Daniel says very plainly that Daniel answered and said unto the king, let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. So he knew very clearly that the Lord had told him that he was going to give him the revelation. So thou, king, the Most High God, gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, languages trembled and feared before him, whom he slew, whom he would he kept alive, whom he would he set up, whom he would, he put down. This man had a lot of authority and a lot of power, didn't he? So he said, you got all this power. But he says, what does he say here? But when his heart was lifted up. So he went all the way back. Let's go back in history. When his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed of his kingly throne and they took his glory from him. He's given you. You know how you tell a person sometimes you want to tell them some bad news? No doubt the Lord had already spoken. He looked up there and he said, oh, I see what that's saying. But he said, I'm going to break it to you easy. You know, you ever said somebody, you know, I'm about to tell people that somebody had passed away. And what is the first thing that you say? You say it quickly, but you say, I have some bad news. That prefaces it. And then it prepares them makes them brace themselves. I have some bad news, such and such passed away. I've heard it, don't draw it out too long. But just say, I have some very bad news for you, some sad news for you, such and such passed. And then it seems like that's a little better than just saying, bam, this is what happened. All right, so here he is. He said, all right, I know what's happening. He's read it, no doubt, and from my mind. He's looked at it, glanced up at it, see what the Lord is saying. And he says, when he was up in pride, this is what happened to you. You're doing the same thing that your grandfather did. You crossed a line, and the Lord is dealing with you because you crossed the line. All right? He says, they took his glory from him. He was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beast. His dwelling was with the wild ass. Now, you suppose he ever heard that story? Of course he heard that story. But why did he forget? Do you know folks have heard stories about what God has done and how God wanted to maybe put his hand and touch people? People have heard stories, but it seems like those stories didn't stick, did it? Where it should have been, you know, nowadays it seems like if somebody tells you a very sad story. You remember how the old time folks used to preach about hell all the time? And everybody would run to the altar? We don't hear it anymore, do we? Because we kind of got callous to it. I remember old Brother Roberts. He would preach. I think his name was Brother Roberts. Yeah. He would preach and he had that, oh, dear ones. He would do that kind of thing. And when he get to talking about hell and burning, I was just a little boy. It was just like, boy, that's scary. I don't want to have anything to do with it. So you go to the altar and get saved. Remember Mother Catherine? And she would tell all those stories and put a hand on her heart and walk down the aisle back, and you had to close your eyes and hold on to the back of the pew not to go down to the altar. Remember those days? Well, because those people had something. They had the power of God with them, didn't they? And you know, if she just looked in my direction and I wasn't saved, you looked in the direction, I just had to go down to the altar. You just don't make eye contact. Just kind of keep your head down like this. But then, you know, when I came to my senses and I realized, you know what, I just want to live for the Lord. I'm not living for the Lord because I don't want to go to hell only. I don't want to go. But it's a better life. I'm much better. Do I have to not do some things? Of course I don't do some things, but I do everything that I want to do. The Lord just took some of the stuff out of my heart that I used to want to do. He took it away. And the things that the devil tries to put back in there, there is this monitor on my heart called the Holy Spirit that says, no, I don't want that. And I make a choice. The brother said the other day that salvation is a choice. It's a choice. I make a choice every day that I want to live saved. I'm not going back. I want to live saved. Every day there is a choice that I have to make. Every day there is a temptation that comes my way, your way, our way, that comes our way, that can draw us back out there if we start to pursue it. So when it comes and wants to lead us astray, we don't have to follow it, do it. We say, no, I don't want to do that by the help and the grace of God, and I'm not going to do it. I'm going to keep going just like the Lord would have me to. All right, where do we leave off? They fed him with grass like oxen. So he's this story. The mother has already come and said, Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, your father, she reiterated that to him, that you know about him, and I want you to remember that. And this man is the one that talked to him about it. Now I'm going to bring this same man in here, so he was kind of prepared for it. And now, I believe that brought it back to his mind what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, and now Daniel is telling him, so he's preparing him, so this isn't good. This is really, really bad. Maybe I'm going to be driven out there. Maybe something's going to happen to me like this. And Daniel continues on, all right? His body was wet with the dew of heaven. Till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men. You are not the ruler. You cannot walk on the walls of Babylon and say, look at this great Babylon that I have created. You can't do that. God did this for you. And you cannot go and take the vessels of gold that were in the temple of God and use them and attribute them to the gods of stone and gold and silver and iron and all these things. You can't take what is holy and hallowed. You can't take it and defile it and not be affected in some kind of a way. This is what Daniel is saying. Your father did it, you're doing it. All right? Go. Read, please. Until he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, that he appointed it over, he gave it to you. God gave you this kingdom. All right? And thou his son. Let me tell you something about, folks want to talk about the president and all this kind of stuff. You know what? There's a whole bunch that I don't like. I like what a whole bunch of presidents have done. I can tell you a whole lot, but the Lord put him there. Well, if everybody hadn't voted for him, he wouldn't be there. Well, the Lord put him there. And the Lord has a reason, either to bring us to judgment or to bring us out of it. I don't know what he's going to do. But the Lord has a reason for Obama being president and for that Kim Jong-un or whatever his name is over in North Korea. The Lord has a reason for him being there. And the Iranian president, Ahmadinejad, the Lord has a reason and a purpose for him being there as well. He sets these men over. The folks in Africa where they're having civil wars and whatnot, God put them there. God allowed. Sometimes the Lord does it to allow his judgment to come down on them, and sometimes the Lord allows it to bring them, for them to do a particular thing that he knows that that person is going to accomplish so that he can bring them out of something. I don't know what it is. And it's not for me to know, but you know what it is for me to do? Stop talking about him and start praying for him. So I pray for him. This is why almost every Sunday, every time we pray for the rulers of our land, pray for our president, pray for the folks in Congress, pray for the folks in the Senate. They need help from the Lord. They don't need us talking about them and going on Rush Limbaugh and Face the Nation and all these other places that we go and call in shows and whatnot and talking about how bad they are. We need some call-in shows, some prayer lines where they're praying for them folks. They need help. They can call themselves Christians all they want to. They're putting folks in the Supreme Court that are bringing about, I don't know what's happening. And y'all, I'm almost finished. I know I've only been in this passage of Scripture, but I feel like the Lord just gave me so much. And the essence, if you don't remember anything else that I said in this lesson, be a Daniel. You be a Daniel. Didn't matter what was around. He was in Babylon. He was in a place where he didn't have the religious freedom that he wanted. What did they want? They wanted the songs of Zion sung in Babylon. And Daniel just said, you know what? I'm not going to be influenced by Babylon. I'm going to influence Babylon. And he was just one man that stood and the Lord blessed him. So no matter what you go through, you may be in a school system or you may be in a office building where you're the only one that's living like to the level that you know you ought to be, but you don't be influenced by them, you influence them. Lord, help us. You may be the only one that's saved in your neighborhood, in your family, but you be the Daniel. There is a man that's still holding on to what he knows is right, still doing what he knows he's supposed to do. There is a woman that if you need somebody to pray for, how many times have somebody come up to you, well, I'm having problems and such, would you pray for me? How many times have people done that they know that you're living right? Lord, help us. Don't be ashamed and don't be afraid to be that man. To be that woman. All right, we're almost through. Yes. Now he's just talking real plain. He said, this is why he didn't want his gifts. Could you have told that with all the diamonds and gold and all? Could you have told him what you really need to tell him? 90-year-old man standing up there saying, now this has happened to your father. You have not humbled your heart, though thou knew all this. Now, I'm not telling, you know what, most of the time when I preach, I don't tell people anything that they don't already know. You know what the scripture says? It says, "If bring it to their remembrance, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ." So most of the things that I preach every Sunday, you already know it. Maybe I say it in a little different light. Maybe there's some bulb comes on this Sunday that didn't come on last Sunday, but you already knew it. You knew all of this that happened to them, and you did it anyway. All right, read. Thou hast lifted up thyself against, you were blatant. You went and got his cups. You went and got his cups out of, if you had just drank out of your own cups and praised the gods of wood, stone, gold, God probably wouldn't have done nothing to you. But you touched that which was holy and you profaned it. Do you know, this is what I say to folks. You know what? Don't touch that which you know God has used in time past. If you don't understand it, you just step back and you say, you know what? I'm not going to touch that. I'm not going to touch it. I don't want to live like this right now. I don't want to do this right now. That's much better than saying that's wrong. Y'all wrong and this church is this and the folks is that. And don't do that. Because you don't know how close you are to the line. Let me tell you what every one of those people know. They know that God has been here. They know that God has used these people in great ways. They know that. They've seen the evidence. This is why it's dangerous to do anything but back up and say, you know, right now I'm not going to do it, but I'm not going to enter in any talk about it. I know I'm taking a long time, but y'all just bear with me. I'm almost done. All right? Read. Brought the vessels of his house before thee. Yes. They drunk wine in them. Thou praise the gods of silver and gold. And he wasn't even in there. How do you know that? He wasn't even in there. All right? Brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear. They don't know. And the God in whose hand your breath is, whose are all thy ways, he's given you all the energy that you have to do whatever you're doing, you have not glorified him. Then was the part of the hand sent forth from God. This writing was written. This is the writing that was written. Meeni, meeni, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Meeni, God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peris, thy kingdom is divided. Given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded, they clothed Daniel with scarlet, put a chain of gold on his neck. Now he wasn't mad at him then, was he? And made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the ruler, third ruler of the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius took the kingdom 82 years old. Now, the point is not so much what happened to Belshazzar. The point is that Daniel was consistent in his service to the Lord. Wasn't very well known. The king didn't know him. It wasn't an advisor to the king. But he was consistent. Saints, be consistent. No matter what people say, no matter what everybody, what directions everybody else is going in, you be consistent. You be there that when somebody gets in trouble and they want to call somebody for prayer, that they don't have to call and wear out one or two people. They can call any of us. And they can know that the saints are going to pray with me, for me, with me, and pray us through this thing. That's what we need. And so the only way for that to happen is for you to make the proclamation and challenge yourself in your own mind that I'm going to be that man. There is a man, there is a woman that's holding on to God, that has contact with God. And when we do that, the Lord will bless us and He'll bless the church at large. Pray for me.